Hello, I'm Steve Livingston, and I am the Forest Janny. In this podcast, I speak to people who live and work in the Scottish Highlands and who have a connection to its wild places. At the beginning of 2025, I moved up to the Highlands, and as an outsider myself, I'm especially keen to hear the stories of others who have been drawn to the area. In this first episode, I speak to Anna and Bryony from Arcade Community Forest about how they came to be where they are now, and a bit about the work that they do. Enjoy!
Yeah, so, well, I'm Bryony. I'm the tree nursery assistant here. So, basically helping Anna, the tree nursery manager, with all of the processes and cultivating trees.
Great.
So this is actually my second week.
Wow. And you've picked a good time to come here as well. The weather's kind of been in your favor.
It has, definitely. It has for 2 weeks. It has, so that's really great. Yeah,
don't get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, so these last 2 weeks not really been in the nursery much. We've been out on the hill looking for aspen.
Great.
To start getting some aspen cuttings. Yeah. So okay. We can start growing our own aspen.
Amazing.
Here, which is really great. Yeah. So for me, it's just I'm right at the start of the journey at the tree nursery.
Cool.
Which is really exciting, and spending a season just learning and hands on.
Yeah, a lot of information, a lot of things to pick up.
So much. Yeah.
Have you got a background in any of this kind of stuff?
My background's actually in outdoor education.
Right. Okay.
So I started at 18 in outdoor ed, and I've been in it for the last 15 years.
Okay.
But the latter half of that, I started working with adults a little bit more and started connecting to the environment a lot more myself as well. So it's kind of where the shift was that guiding is still really important to me and connecting people to the landscape that they're in. But I recognise that I'm talking about it and not actually getting my hands in the soil and helping. So this is the start of that journey for me, which
brilliant.
Is great.
So have you lived in this area for a while then?
So this is my second season in Loch Arbour.
Right,
so
okay.
That's me captured.
Yeah.
Captured to the area, I think. So when I first moved up to Scotland, I moved up to Old Shamore, which is right on the northwest, and I found a wee little community croft up there.
Oh wow!
And that's where hands in the soil really started to grow for me.
Where was that move from? Sorry,
that was from Mansfield.
From Mansfield, yeah. Right? Okay.
Yeah, so I was working with adults with additional needs. Taking them out into the hills and doing bits.
Great.
I went up there and I come across an Ecuadorian lady, a Costa Rican lady, and Daniel, German guy, who just really want to adapt permaculture to the croft. So I just was playing around with them, and then I got a job up there again in outdoor education. But then I got a job up and down the Great Glen on a barge. So there are two barges that operate up and down the canal from Banavy up to Inverness. So I was a guide on there, doing a lot of guided walks and canoes, and I was walking past the forest school constantly.
Yeah.
My curiosity started to grow and grow, and I started learning about what was happening on Loch Arcaig because I was guiding around there.
Yeah.
And then I started volunteering at the nursery last year.
Wow.
Which then led me to here.
A lot of this sounds like being in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
And kind of just being curious about things.
I think that's what it was, and just being open, I think. For me, it's been a journey of opening, and the more I've connected with myself, the deeper I've connected with the landscape around me too.
Yeah,
so I've been able to allow that space to be curious in nature, which is, you know, way back when I started, it was all about activities, do this, do this. And I suppose that was the blessing with moving from children to kids, it was adults, sorry, they were asking a lot more questions.
Yeah.
And that grew my curiosity.
The most interesting ones sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and it feels like I just feel like a brand new student. You know, I feel like it's the start of a new journey away from outdoor ed into more conservation and hands on. Experience.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, as someone who has recently just left their career to begin a new one, that's kind of reassuring to hear that stuff. Just especially a wee bit later on in life, it's kind of like a bigger risk to take.
Absolutely,
so, but on days like this and in this environment, you must feel that you made the right decision.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it's just nice to leave at the end of the day of a work day, which you know, when you're doing something you're passionate about, it doesn't feel too much like work. But yeah. It's nice to leave knowing that you've had some sort of positive impact, which you get when you're guiding. You really do, and you connect people to the landscape, and they have some real big moments too. But this is just happening every little thing I do, every little tree that I pull out of its plug and put into a bigger pot. You know, it's great. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thanks for chatting to us.
No worries. Thank you. So my name's Anna McPhee. I'm the tree nursery development manager at RK Community Forest. So, I have been working in conservation all my life, really. So I started out in my early 20s. I used to do a lot of volunteering for an organisation called Scottish Conservation Projects,
right,
which is now the TCV,
the
Trust for Conservation Volunteers. So you could go off to Rum and Egg and Ben A and plant trees for a week or two, or do the roddy bashing for a week or two if you got, you know, winded in on the island and you couldn't get off because of the gales. And you just gave them 25 quid and we cooked together, we planted trees together, we worked on the nurseries. And that's really what got me started.
Wow. Is that the sort of things that Trees for Life are doing now still? Is that, they do those kind of weekend or work weeks?
I think they possibly do weeks where you pay and then you also work.
It's not 25 sure. quid anymore.
It's not 25 quid anymore. And we would be staying in, you know, quite ropey bothies.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Roughing it, really.
Sounds like a great adventure, though.
Yeah, it was a nice start, just being around a lot of really enthusiastic young people. SCP, Scottish Conservation Projects, were a fantastic organisation. And I did grow up in the area, so I grew up on Knoydart.
Right,
so,
okay. Wow.
If you drive
Extremely
along
remote.
The north shore of Loch Arkaig,
yeah.
then you come out on the rough bounds out there.
Yeah.
So you keep going west over the mountains and Knoydart's out there somewhere. It's not that far.
Wow.
Here, 40 miles or so maybe. 30, 40 miles.
So where in Knoydart did you grow up then? Because there's not many...
Yes.
Not many towns there.
My parents were basically crazy. they were into self-sufficiency.
Right.
And... they met in a land cooperative where people were gardening together, cooking together, etc. And they and another family moved to Knoydart, and we built our two respective abodes up from ruins, really, because during the war the lead had been taken off the roof and sold. So I'll never forget my parents taking me to this ruin on the north shore of Knoydart when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they're saying, this is our new house, we're going to live here. And I was thinking, really? Can't you see it's quite wet here?
Yeah.
It's raining a lot.
Wow.
And, you know, the grass was all squelchy when you came up the beach.
Yeah.
And there would be dead deer strewn all along the coast because the deer population back then was very high, mid-70s, and a lot of the deer used to starve. So... it was...
And they saw instantly that was going to be their new home?
Yeah, I mean, they had walked all over the Highlands looking for the most isolated place they could find.
Wow.
So I grew up somewhere with no electricity, no running water, no road. Remember one Easter, we actually broke our Easter eggs open 2 weeks early because that's how out of touch we were with the outside world.
You didn't actually know the real date.
Yeah, we had no idea what date it was.
Wow.
And the first night we stayed in the house after my father put the roof on, we just had two little nightlights with paraffin in them, two tiny little nightlights. I'll never forget, we're all on just like roll mats on the floor in the one room. And there was this silence outside, and it's huge. And you've got the sea, you've got the mountains, and we knew we were very cut off.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut off. I mean, no radio. Mm. No, we didn't even have the VHF radio. Laterally, we had a VHF radio in the house that we could then speak to each other when we're out in the boat, because my parents were fishing. So we grew up helping on the prom boat. And
was that just quite normal to you then?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have chosen anything else for anything in the world. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I spent most of my childhood wandering around. I was really into my bare feet.
Mm.
And I had a really old second-hand pair of binoculars, which eventually they fell apart. And I just had one side of them, so it was like a monocular. I used to wander about on the hill like that, and my mum didn't know where I was.
Mm.
We had two rules. We weren't allowed to climb on the dry stone dike,
mm-hmm.
Because if it collapses, then it breaks your legs, basically, and everything else. And we weren't allowed to walk on the overhanging banks of the burn, because they were, you know, maybe 30, 40 metre banks, which you've probably seen them where they've been undercut by a spate, and the soil's all fallen out.
Mm.
So we weren't allowed to walk along there, but we used to wander. The benefit of that was that I always felt at home in nature.
Mm.
So I like silence, and I can put up with my own company, put it that way. I'm not saying I like my own company. It's just, it's a natural way to be. I think it's natural for us to be in harmony with nature, and just to listen to nature. You know, we didn't have mobile phones. We didn't even have a phone.
Yeah.
We didn't have a telly. We had a lot of paperback books. We understood what was going on around us.
Mm.
I suppose we were very fortunate. We had that connection.
And in relation to your job now, now that we have all left here, you'll get a bit of silence and a bit of... I get the impression you do also like being around people.
I mean, that's been a journey in itself, because I think as I've got older, I've become more sociable, if you like. I've learned how to be sociable.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It didn't necessarily come naturally when I was younger, because I was a loner, you know, because the way I grew up.
Mm.
And I preferred the company of wild birds and animals, and felt more at ease, if you like.
Yeah.
I was never someone who got lonely or bored,
because
there's so much going on in nature, isn't there? It's like, well, what is that bird that's singing up there, and what's that plant, and I wonder what the Gaelic name for that hill is, and what does it even mean?
That's great, full of curiosity then. Yeah, I always feel sorry for people that say that they're bored or they don't know what to do. That's a bad position to be in.
Yeah, it's a hard one, but I think maybe it's just a matter of, as Bryony was saying, opening up to nature. You know, she did she's done a lot of traveling in South America, and she noticed when she was there that the biodiversity was so much richer, and she thought, hey, this is how it's meant to be in the highlands.
This
is what we're missing. So that, I think that was her kind of revelation that led her here, and to find the tree nursery and to come in, and She just wanted to get her hands in the soil.
Yeah.
You know, that was her goal. She just wanted to work one-to-one directly with the plants on quite a deep level as well.
Mm.
So, okay, we've got the scientific side, and it's all NP and K and what kind of growing medium and da-da-da-da-da. But to actually have and hold relationship with nature.
Yeah. Well, it seems like she's found the right place
here
and the right person to work with as
well. Well, I've been very fortunate with her turning up. And she's given me a lot of support over the last year.
Mm.
I think nature's in crisis, and everything we can do is going to help. And that's why it's so fantastic to have you guys here, and the Woodland Trust there, and the whole Boat Archaic Landscape Partnership, you know, between Archaic Community Forest, which is community-led and driven, and then the Woodland Trust had the initial partnership with ACF, which is the first of its kind.
Mm.
And so there was the joint buyout, if you like, of the land, or the community bought the land and then handed the majority of the land to Woodland Trust because it was too much and too expensive for a small community to afford to take out all those exotic conifers.
Yeah.
So Woodland Trust have taken that on, and Henry Dobson, who is the estate manager, has developed the Boat Archaic wider landscape partnership, so that then brings in Aknakari Estate, who are doing the woodland creation on their ground, similar to what Woodland Trust are doing in some respects, as to the species of trees, etc., you know, the native trees which are being re-established. And then, of course, there's Forestry and Land Scotland, who own from this boundary, if you like, that's the FLS boundary, all the way up Loch Lochy, all the way up to Invergarry, I think.
Yeah.
So there's a massive block of land there that's going to be rewilded, and they're taking out the conifers, they're not replanting, they're allowing natural regeneration, etc. So, you know, every day when I drive down here, I think, okay, I'm burning fossil fuels, but I'm contributing to landscape scale restoration of the environment, and the landscape scale allows recovery of all sorts of things, you know, from the ectomycorrhizal networks up, because when things are joined up, then they're more resilient. It's when you've got, you know, a pocket of woodland here and then another pocket of woodland there, there's no corridor. That's when habitats become fragmented, as you probably are well aware. That's when they're more vulnerable. And when they're cooperating, when ecosystems are cooperating, they're more resilient, and more resilient to climate change.